Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Francine. I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
Good day again.
Good day. And we are here to break down information, talk about Ashes of Creations, dev streams, all these different things, and hopefully you enjoy that. And if you do, subscribe. We would love to have you aboard on our YouTube or through your podcast service of choice, and join our Discord as well for some conversation if you're interested. We'll kick it off as we always do, though. What have you been playing this week, Sid?
Satisfactory and Deadlock.
Yeah, pretty much the same for me. We've been, if you don't know, Satisfactory, great game. Launched into 1.0 this week, and Sub and I have been kind of doing like a playthrough of it, so it's been a lot of fun. Really fun game if you've never had a chance to try it. But
we do love our automation games.
I do. Factorio, Satisfactory, you name it. But yeah, pretty much the same for me too. Satisfactory and then some Deadlock here on the side too, which has been pretty fun. But nothing too much in terms of the weekly updates. Again, no really new information. Some you know, usual stuff, just kind of recapping the previous dev stream and all that good stuff, which we're actually not that far out to the next one. I don't think they've announced it yet, but it should be an exciting one. The last one before October, which is hopefully when we will be getting Alpha 2 Phase 1. But today we are digging in. We are done breaking down all the phases, and we're kind of digging back into a topic that we mentioned last week, which is pets in Ashes of Creation. Obviously, pets they can be a really big part of an MMO. I think for World of Warcraft, like, you know, obviously that's kind of the go-to MMO we discuss a little bit here. You know, they've had a lot of different iterations, and, you know, there's cosmetics and there's combat and there's, you know, different things that you can like summon in. And so we're going to dig into it as far as Ashes is created and kind of give some of our thoughts in it. So I'm just going to give kind of a breakdown of pets and Ashes of Creation. And then we can kind of like dig into like what we think about it and how we think Ashes is handling it and all that good stuff. But pets are available from level one cosmetically, you know, particularly cosmetic ones, because obviously they don't really, you know, do anything other than look awesome. There are, again, two types of pets: cosmetic, as I mentioned, and combat pets. And combat pets don't increase the player's power, and it says they require a sacrifice from the player, which is interesting. I'm curious if that's like a HP, like does it take some of your HP or some of your damage? You know, I was curious to see how that works, but that is kind of interesting. And we will mention summoners' pets do increase their power. Obviously, the summoner is a kind of a pet-driven class. We're not going to dig into it too much. We kind of just wanted to focus on the main kind of, you know, cosmetic and combat pets in general, because summoners is like a whole different thing to get into. Again, they are different. They can have three pets active, as well as, you know, they have like pet abilities and stuff like that. So a little bit different for, you know, a summoner versus the regular combat pets that folks can have and things like that. Mounts and pets can be dropped via world bosses. Also, animal husbandry plays a role and factor in kind of like taming and breeding new pets and mounts and things like that too. Again, we're not going to dig too much into that. We actually did that a little bit previously when we got into our mounts segment. But yeah, so that's kind of in a nutshell, and we're going to dig into it a little bit more. Like combat pets and things like that, especially because they're definitely the more interesting of the two. But just kind of like overall, like, what do you think of like pets? Yeah, I guess it could be from other MMOs and just like Ashes based on just kind of all that information.
Easy. Either pets are amazing or they suck. It's like the great thing about having a pet, or at least every, I guess, archetype having a pet is, it's cool, right? It's cool to just go out there and be like, yeah, you can sacrifice some of your player power. And I think it's a cool way they're doing it. So it's like, you know, do you want to be full player power of your, you know, character you're playing? Or do you want to summon like a little tank or heal or DPS pet to help you out? But you sacrifice a little bit, some of your power to your pet, and it can fill a little role for you out there. It's a cool little way to do it, I guess. I guess my biggest question is how restricted are these things going to be? Because if you're running around in a world where everyone has a pet, it's going to be really annoying. Because, I don't know, this Ashes is a, you know, I guess what you call the traditional target-based MMO, where you can like tab target or click target. And if there's 9 million pets in a big battle, it's going to be annoying. So it's hopefully they can keep pets out of PvP, maybe restrict. I mean, I don't know. Cosmetic pets are different because they just sit there and do nothing. You know, they're just fun to look at, fun collector's item. Whereas combat pets are going to be like, if everyone can have them, you know, it opens up a can of worms where it's just like, you might have trouble targeting someone in a group of with a bunch of pets out there. I've seen scenarios where it happens in World of Warcraft, where if you fight a shaman and a demonology warlock and a hunter, like all grouped up, there's so many pets and things you can target and totems and stuff. It's just like it becomes a chore. So it really depends how they these balance them. But I do think it's a real cool idea that they're adding into the game. I really gotta see how they, I guess, restrict it in some ways and make it fun at the same time.
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on it like at the end of last episode too. Yeah, it really is. Pets, they're just so hard to get right. Like combat pets, obviously. Cosmetics are just great. You know, I have no issues with that. But it just like you said, it kind of either they're completely useless or they're like overpowered and they cause a lot of issues in the game, right? There seems to be very few in betweens, I feel like. And I think a lot of that just comes and not just in like MMOs and like other games too, or other things that, you know, utilize pets. Like it's hard to find the right balance. And I think it's because it's basically like having a whole like almost like a second character, right, running around with you, you know, attacking, you know, giving you different kind of things that are going on. So like that can be really, really broken, right? Having that extra, you know, depending on like what the pet do, like, you know, some of them in Ashes are going to be have options for like healer, you know, tank, DPS, right? That's really big, right? That can make a really big difference in terms of how, you know, and particularly when we're talking about MMO, we're more worried about balancing in particular. And, you know, a single player game, it's not that big of a deal. You know, if it creates some imbalance here and there, but in anything that's like multiplayer, it can be a really big deal. And kind of as you mentioned too, like there's kind of beyond even just like the combat balancing aspects, like, you know, if you have like, are there really big pets? Are they taking up a lot of screen space, right? Are they getting in the way and things like that? And so that can be a big issue too, particularly towards PvP, and kind of how they get utilized. And then also factoring in like mounts as well on top of that too. So it could be a lot, but I do love pets, right? I think they're really cool to have, and both cosmetically as well as like combat pets. Like I always used to play in Diablo 2, like Necromancer was definitely like my go-to class. So I loved having like skeletons and, you know, stuff like that roaming around with you. And it was always a lot of fun, but it is going to be interesting to see how they kind of, you know, balance everything and also keep them interesting and viable, because, you know, they are going to have a whole class based on pets too. So it's obviously important that they get it right and make sure that they're not too overpowered, but they also serve a role and can kind of have, you know, help you out if maybe if you're a solo player and like you kind of want to use them as like a tank if you're like a mage or, you know, things like that. And so that should be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, you brought up the point of how balancing could be an issue. Like I said, the way I'm looking at it, based on how what we know on pets right now, is like if you're not a summoner and you summon a combat pet, like I said, it weakens you. Like you sacrifice your power to summon that pet, which I think is a good balance trade-off. It's just not like, you know, your full power. So like, it seems like it's a situational thing. So like, maybe you're in an area grinding mobs and you're just squishy and you want to summon your combat pet as a tank. You're gonna be weak. So let me give it. I'm just gonna give an example here. I'm not sure exactly how much power they will siphon from you. But say you're a bard and you're struggling in an area questing, right? You could summon your combat pet as a tank, and maybe you become 50% weaker, but your pet takes your other 50% of your power. So like, it's 50-50. So it equals out as 100%. Either you could be 100% bard, or, you know, 50% bard and 50% combat pet with a tank ability, right? And like, I'm not sure exactly how they'll balance that. Like, will it be like damage wise or health wise or stuff like that? But it is an interesting way to just maybe summon a friend out in the world to make a quest a little bit easier. Maybe you just can't tank a mob. You want a solo, you can summon a combat pet real quick. But you know, you just split yourself in half, kind of, I guess, stat wise would kind of be a way. But I don't know how it's gonna work. So that's just one theory they could do to make it more balanced. But yeah, I guess the fact that you have to sacrifice some of your own power to summon these things is, I do think, a good thing because, like I said, it will make it so they are a cool idea for like situational things and maybe not such a good idea for like PvP.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's a good idea. I think it's going to be good. And like, Ashes just kind of placated itself on the idea of being more of a traditional MMO in the sense of kind of adhering more towards like the trinity of an MMO, an RPG. So like, tank, DPS, healer. And although we don't 100%, we've seen like, the cleric in action. We probably expect the cleric to kind of return more towards of like a pure healer versus, in a lot of MMOs nowadays, the healer often can do a lot of damage too, depending on like what spec you are and, gear and all that different types of stuff too. But, if, you really are going to return to that idea of like, hey, like I'm a cleric and I have a hard time soloing. The pet is probably going to play a pretty pivotal role. Like if you bring out like a, maybe you need a DPS pet or something. Like maybe you're pretty tanky and you can heal yourself, but you have a hard time like killing things because you just can't output enough damage. And same like, if you're a tank, like maybe you can take a lot of damage, but maybe you need like the healer, or maybe you do need like a DPS pet to try to, kind of boost your damage because maybe you can't, do as much of that. So I think like the pet could actually play, the combat pet in particular could play a pretty heavy and significant role within Ashes, which, maybe fill like some of the gaps for, some of those classes if you're playing more solo, or maybe you're playing like in a small group. You don't really have like a balanced kind of, group. Maybe the pets can hopefully fulfill some of that role. Maybe you sacrifice a little bit of your own ability, but hopefully it's still giving you a benefit on top of it too. Otherwise, if it's just basically, having you and giving some of that to the pet, then it may not be as worthwhile. But yeah, I think it could actually really work well, and play like a really significant role in Ashes, which, a lot of times pets don't, unless you're like a pet class. But I think the fact that it can kind of augment some of these other, classes that maybe or archetypes that don't have, some abilities or are lacking in damage, healing, tanking, whatever, could be really cool too.
Yeah, and I guess maybe since we talked a little bit about that, we can kind of dive into what you can do with these combat pets. We've already kind of discussed like, you can make them a tank, a healer, or a DPS, but there is more to them than meets the eye, obviously. So like, there
Transformers.
is a progression. Yeah. Yes, Transformers. There is a progression system which I think we should dive into because I think that plays a very important role of if, like I said, if you're power splitting with a pet, like, can you make it, is the power split worth it, and can you make him geared in the right direction with gear? So I guess I'll let Forensi break that down a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll dig into combat pets here a little bit. Obviously, there's not much to dig into for the cosmetic pets. I'll briefly touch on it later, but yeah, so combat pets will be levelable, and they have gear available to them. I think I read the summoners that may be a little bit different in terms of like gear and things like that. But yeah, so you can actually level them up. There should be some gear, so that'll be kind of fun, if you can kind of deck your pet out in some gear and stuff like that. They will have horizontal progression, as you mentioned. And basically, kind of like what this is horizontal progression kind of pushes, a wider range of character attributes that, may or may not be useful as you kind of progress them. So basically, the way that I kind of understood this and like the way Steven kind of explaining is that like basically kind of like the way you progress these pets, it means that they may not always be relevant for every situation. And I kind of imagine that is, well, if you really invest in it as being like heavily as like a tank pet, then, in certain situations, then it may not be useful or always available to you. It's kind of the way that I kind of understood it is, which is, I think, is good. We won't dig into it right now, but again, as we already mentioned, again, they do kind of fulfill a similar trinity to like the classic RPG MMO, you know, tank DPS healer. So they do kind of have roles too, which I think is pretty cool. And again, combat pets are, again, limited as well in the fact that they cannot be summoned or used in certain places or instances, or like certain dungeons or certain situations as well, they mentioned, which I think is important kind of. You know, that they're not a end all be all. You're probably not going to go into like a 40 person raid with 40 pets potentially. So that's probably a good thing. But yeah, that's kind of combat pets in a nutshell as far as they are related to Ashes.
Yeah, I guess like I really want to see how they level up and what kind of gear they can have. Obviously, with horizontal progression, it seems like they will scale, but not to the crazy degree like summoner pets, it seems like. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they do that, because it does seem like a combat, at least from based on everything we know, right? It seems like combat pets are just going to be like, hey, I'm out on the, like I said, we said this before, where, hey, I'm out in the soloing and I just can't fulfill a certain role or do enough damage, and then you just, you know, they pick up the slack a little bit. But I kind of want to interest to see if they have like maybe like talent trees or something, like, and what kind of gear they have. I'm not sure if it'll be on the same level as player gear, but like how much that will scale them. I mean, there's a lot of can of worms here we could open by talking about what kind of systems they're going to do with gear and if they have talent trees or not. And I don't know. It's like, I guess we have to wait and really see how they're implemented to see how it really works, because this is kind of something I could speculate on a lot and just be really wrong about. And I guess, I don't know. I kind of want to see them in action. It's like that. It's like everything we talk about, I want to see them in action. Maybe I guess we could talk about what kind of pets they have. Like I see a picture on the wiki of a bird pet, and maybe they'll have cool ones like, you know, pigs and deer, or maybe some unique ones. Stuff like that would be cool.
Yeah, no, I think the scaling part is going to be interesting. So the fact that they mentioned gear gives me some feeling that there will be scaling, I suspect, because I mean, it's part of what gear is, you know, in addition to like your own progression and things like that and weapon mastery and stuff, is, you know, gear plays a role in your scaling power. That's always kind of been like the issue, I feel like, a lot of times with pets, is like they just don't scale very well. Right. They can be really powerful early on, but then they tend to struggle in like as you get into like end game and max level and stuff like that. And not just in MMOs. Like there's a lot of things. Like I play Dungeons and Dragons, and like there's a ranger subclass that can utilize pets, and they're pretty good early on. But as you know, this is the older rules, the new rules just came out, but they basically become useless because they don't particularly scale well. And so That's always a major issue, like for folks, I think, that are like interested in using pets and stuff like that. But I mean, I think like even like I'm hoping like we can take use of them too, like in game. Like if it's gonna be me and you out there leveling, you know, like if I'm a, you know, for phase one, if I'm a bard and you're a ranger, we're probably not gonna want to be doing too much tanking. So I hope that we can get some like maybe like a tanky pet or maybe even like a healer pet to help me out, you know, depending on how much bards can heal and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of combat pets, in a nutshell, I would say. I of course, the thing I always say is definitely, I want to see how it works and how they function, all that good stuff. And I'd have to actually go back and look, but I don't know if pets will be available day one in phase one, or if they're,
I think they're
later.
Phase three.
Okay. Yeah, that probably makes sense.
I think that's why that's what we decided to talk about.
That
also, I wanted to bring up again, like, it's a little early in the morning for me recording, so my brain's not working too good. I wanted to see, we're talking about pets and gear. Like, will pets have their own specific stats, like, for pets only? Or will they, like, just pull from the pool of stats that players pull from and scale that way? Like, so, there's another interesting idea, like where they will their gear have specific stats just for pets, like kind of, you know, players like will scale with their own stats. Like, you might have crit on a gear, while pets have like different stats and different. You know what I mean? Just like different name. They're named differently, but specifically for pets, kind of like. Looks like maybe you have a bird pet, and he can wear a shirt with bird stats on it.
I hope we get some
That
really
would be
good
cool.
like gear for pets that looks cool.
Well, yeah, it's just a cool. It's like a. It's almost like WoW has pets, but that's it's more like a Pokemon system, whereas this seems like a more thought out system. I guess you could kind of consider it like that. And maybe they'll go down the route of, it doesn't say this yet, but you never know. Maybe if you have a freehold, you could put your pet to work like in Pal World.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. Pets definitely seem a lot more functional for sure, which, I think is good. It's not like a side thing or, something like that. It's tangible. There's going to be benefits to using one in combat and stuff like that, which I love. I really think I've had a lot of fun with pets. Especially because, even I mean there's going to be kind of like a whole artisan class sort of centered around it, obviously beyond just pets like mounts and things like that. And there's a lot of other things that they can do, like the animal husbandry kind of artisan profession. But like I think that's going to be really interesting too, is that you can breed pets, and like is it going to become some crazy thing where they're trying to breed the most powerful pets, and it should be kind of interesting to see how that plays in too. But
It's just another cool system to have fun with, I guess. There's no harm in it. Like I said, balance is always going to be the biggest issue, where you can summon them, and if you're out in the world PvP and people just have an army of pets out, and that could be annoying. It's just little things like that they need to, I guess, focus their attention on the most. At least from my point of view, it's just, I don't want to get into a big open world PvP battle and like everyone just summons a combat pet and it's just a big old cluster, you know what I mean? And that, I guess, that's my biggest concern. It is a cool little system that I definitely will engage with, and I will, find a pet and level it up and gear it up because, why not? It's fun.
Yeah, it could be useful too, for sure, on top of it. So, no, I feel like that kind of summons up or sums up combat pets pretty soon. We're gonna briefly mention cosmetic pets, obviously the other half of this equation, but there's really not a whole lot on them. It apparently, so what I could research is they're currently only available from backer packages. Now, I imagine that's probably going to change as we get into the game. There'll probably be like quests you can earn them from, or storylines and story arcs, and other ways maybe you could buy them. I don't know, from or get them from like an artisan, like an animal husbandry artisan. But yeah, so pretty much cosmetic, purchasable at the moment, or were purchasable, yeah, not really too much to add to that. I don't know if you have any thoughts on like, because I know WoW, obviously they have kind of like the Pokemon system, and then a lot of people just like, I feel like it really is like Pokemon in World of Warcraft, where it is like like I know somebody that like literally is just like trying to get every mount and like every pet, and like it is just like gotta catch them all. And I don't have any problem with that personally. I don't think it really detracts from anything in terms of the game, and I don't mind them being purchasable too, like as well.
Yeah, I as long as you can earn some in game that are cool, I don't care if there's some on the store. I know a lot of people are like they all should be in game and nothing should be on the store. I mean, everyone has their own opinions. My opinion is if it's on the store and it's cool, maybe I'll buy it. And if I'm cheap, it's like I don't have to buy it. It's like just because it's there doesn't mean you have to spend the money, right? So that's just how I function. So cosmetic pets are definitely cool. I have nothing wrong with them. Like I said, as long as they're not targetable and, are annoying on the battlefield, I have no problem with it. It's just more of a clutter issue. It's like, because in WoW, you can technically target them, but they don't kind of obey the same target rules. If you click target, then you can target them by accident, but if you tab target, they won't. But tab targeting's always been broken in WoW. Like, it will never. it usually doesn't work the way you want most of the time, especially in big battles. So clicking is usually the only way viable way to target. But yeah, I'm not against cosmetic pets. So like I said, bring it on, I guess.
Yeah, as long as they're not as big as, you know, like a semi truck, I think it should be okay. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps up most of what we wanted to dive into regarding pets. Pets are obviously pretty fun, big deal. They certainly can be a big deal, you know, especially when you have a class focused around it on top of it, which is, you know, the summoner, which again, we're not really getting into because it really is quite different. Like, how pets are handled for just like the regular folks that are not a summoner class versus the actual summoner class. So that will be kind of interesting to see and see how that all plays out. But unless you had anything else you wanted to add into it, I think you're going to kind of dig into some guild update stuff.
Yeah, not really. I guess if you're really into pets, play a summoner because they could take everything to the next level pretty much. Like I said, we're not getting into it, but yeah, hopefully they'll show off the summoner sometime between and a dev update before phase 3, because that's when it's supposed to drop. But yeah, I'm interested to see how they do pets with the summoner, I guess.
Yeah, and guild update stuff. You wanted to dig into that?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm still working on it. I have a document about what we're going to plans are for phase 1 alpha 2 on the guild, but I want to kind of go over like a little bit of a philosophy change. And I know it's going to be kind of weird saying this in 2024 because things have changed so much, but I am going to advertise the guild probably starting in early October in the relevant areas, but I kind of also want to try to grow the guild organically in game. Now I know this, a lot of people be like, well, that's crazy, you have all these avenues to recruit and do it, you know, before alpha 2 launches, right? But some of the most fond moments I have with guilds back in the early World of Warcraft days, which we did not have all these avenues to recruit, was just doing it organically in game. I feel like just meeting people on the out there, and we're people inviting you to a guild and already not even joining a guild right away. You just go do a dungeon and, you know, had a good time, and then you ended up joining their guild and, you know, stuff like that. And I kind of want to go the more organic growth route in alpha. I know it's going to be extremely difficult because, like I said, there's already gigantic guilds out there recruiting literally every day. But I just want to try that out and see if it is even viable in 2024. I'm assuming it's not going to be too viable in 2024, maybe. But I don't know. I just want to try it organically a little bit too, mixed in with some recruitment. So I guess that's pretty much what I wanted to say. It's just like maybe there will be some people playing in Alpha 2 that don't have a guild lineup and meet in the world, and it just turns into something cool.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be really cool. I'm down. And, you know, it's hard to gauge too, because obviously we're like in an alpha, like a lot of people have paid good money to be in this. So like you figure probably a lot of testers are probably, yeah, you would expect them to be in a guild, but versus, you know, when the game actually launches and there's, you know, no box price to the game, it's just really the subscription fee. So I suspect you might get a lot of people that are guildless there, so it'll be kind of interesting to see. But I'm definitely down. I think it'll make it a lot more fun. And yeah, definitely, you know, it is kind of like an older school MMO, so you know, there is going to be kind of that element of, you know, needing to group up with people versus, you know, being able to do everything like solo. So yeah, I think it should be a lot of fun to kind of see how it unfolds.
Yeah, and I just also want to say, I'm not like when I'm playing Alpha 2, I'm not going to be out there trying to poach people from other guilds. I just want everything to happen organically. I know this is a tall order to ask, right? Because like in 2024, like I said, people recruit on Discord, they recruit on forums. I mean, there's 9 million ways to recruit. Like back, instead of like when Vanilla WoW was around, the best recruiter tool was literally in the game. Like, you know, just playing on your server and engaging with people, and that's how I got recruited to my first guild and stuff. And we had a blast back then, and I wanted to try it out in 2024, and it may be a colossal failure, but I feel like even if it is, I still want to try it just to see if it works.
Yep,
Like,
and
there's no harm in trying, and if it doesn't work, then I'll just recruit harder, I guess.
he'll be in some city node hitting slash yell, looking for
No,
people.
I'm not even gonna do that.
I'm just
I think
joking.
I'm just gonna just group up and play the game.
I'm just messing around. But
Yeah, I don't even like that route. I don't even like
no.
yelling in a city. I just wanna be out in the world doing a quest, and there's a bunch of people there on Guild, and we have a blast doing the quest, and then it ends up being a long-term friendship, and they join the guild and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, should be a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll start to wrap things up here. And next week, I think we're going to dig into a little bit about the leveling experience, kind of as a whole, both in Ashes as well as just kind of MMOs in general. So, given a little bit of like backstory, I guess, or history, I guess you could say, on leveling, because it's changed quite a bit over the years. From the early RPG and MMOs into I think like what we have now, and I feel like Ashes is maybe going to be making a little bit more old school, but we'll kind of see how it all unfolds. But yeah, so that's the plan for next week. Obviously, if you enjoyed on YouTube, subscribe, like, comment. We would love to hear what you have to say. Sorry if you hear my dog there. Join us on Discord, and leave us a review as well on your podcast's platform of choice. So appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.